Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Tens of thousands of airline passengers waited hours for delayed or grounded flights headed into or out of the Southwest on Thursday because we had a failure of the radar system that guides aircraft through the region. A backup system. Was this at L.A. or was it all throughout the Southwest? Because I was led to believe this was just Los Angeles. Based in L.A. But by the time the FAA restored the system more than 4 hours later, airports nationwide were gridlocked with aircraft lined up on the ground. On the line is Art Griego, a private pilot working out of Santa Monica. How you doing, Art?
Real good, Phil.
So we had a radar and we had our navigational stuff on the ground and the backup systems and everything was just, there was a big failure, huh?
Absolutely, and I think that comes with being residents here in the most populous and most popular city in America, Los Angeles, where we have visitors coming at all times of the day, and you can see what happens. We have so much air traffic coming into Los Angeles International Airport. So many people who want to be a part of this city as visitors, tourists, and even residents. And I think what we had was just the system just simply could not handle it.
Okay, so how do we avoid this? Because there were 75,000 people sitting at the airport in Los Angeles, waiting for airplanes.
Well, Phil, I've been a pilot for 20 years. This radar and computer navigation baloney that I've never been a big believer in, Phil. I will tell you this. Give me a runway. Give me lights. Give me my altimeter. Give me my speed. Maybe throw in a little wind direction. I don't care. And then back away and let me do my job. Watch a master go to work. I want to speak directly to your audience right now, if I could, Phil. There are some 20,000 commercial licensed pilots in America. They're the best the world has ever seen. They work hard. They travel long hours. They have families. They bleed red blood, and they put their pants on one leg at a time. But I'm a little bit frustrated with them because I remember a pilot back in the 80s, and I don't remember the guy's name, but in his words, they will ring forever in my ears, Phil. He said it. Must land at Beirut. Repeat, must land at Beirut. No alternative. Repeat, no alternative. So you want to sit there and tell me that that guy had some tin pusher holding his hand? I don't think so. He opened up the window. He rolled up his sleeves. He put an order in for a pot of coffee. He got the job done. And I thank God for every breath I pull in that as pilots, we can hold our head up high and say we did it our way. I don't need a tin pusher blowing my nose or holding my hand.
And let me interrupt you there. I feel like I'm in an airport here, okay?
All right.
Okay, I mean, you know, you're making a good speech. Well, you say you don't need some tin pusher. What's that? Is that a...
Air traffic control.
Oh, those are the air traffic control guys. And you don't need some tin pusher blowing your nose.
I don't need, Phil, this constant hand-holding that some pilots... Take a look at the skies over Los Angeles. We've got people who are screaming to get into this city. This very night that you and I are talking. They want to go to Disneyland. They want to go to Knott's Berry Farm. They want to go see the Tournament of Roses parade. They want to go to Hollywood Boulevard. They want to go to Sunset Boulevard. They want to go look at the movie stars and go down and meet the movie stars. They want to go everywhere, and they're coming in here, and it just never ends. And if you think that we can keep this city running because you got some tin pusher blowing your nose...
All right, well, there's a lot of people coming into L.A., so?
So you can't rely on radar and navigation exclusively. Sometimes you just got to pull your pants up, zip up, shake off, walk to the bathroom, throw your hand towel into the garbage can, and get back to work.
Well, how is a pilot supposed to land an airplane in a city at Los Angeles International Airport without navigational control, without...
I'm not talking about navigational control. I'm talking about whether or not he's got radar.
All right, how's he supposed to do that without radar? How's he supposed to do that without air traffic control?
You know, let me tell you something, Phil. You got two eyes in your head. You can see the runway. Now, I'm a private pilot. I could be up there, and that's when you utilize your resources. As a private pilot, a small plane can guide those big planes in. I've done it before when I've seen a lot of commercial air traffic coming into Los Angeles. I can be up there circling, point the way. Yeah, you're A-okay. We've got in aircraft in the aerospace business, we call it thumbs up, green light, nose in, nose in. Now
that's thumbs up?
Thumbs up, green light, nose in means the runway is open. Back off, back draft, your trap door is open. That means back away.
What is that again? Your trap door is open.
Your trap door is open, meaning your rear end's hanging out in the breeze. Get out, get away from there, get as far away from the city as you can get. All right? Bring your approach, because you know, coming into L.A., you got to make a big approach. You got to do a big circular approach getting into L.A.
Yeah, I know that. If you're coming down the coast.
Yeah, right. So if it's crowded down there, and I can tell the guy on the radio, your trap door is wide open, get away from here. Get out of here. And no, I've seen guys fly all the way back to Cincinnati. They won't even, Jesus, you know, that's how good it is. That's the communication we have as pilots.
All right. We're talking with Art Griego. We had the air traffic control system go down, the radar system go down in L.A. There were a lot of people stranded on their in airports all over the Southwest, all over America, because nobody could get into L.A. You're saying that they don't need air traffic control because these guys can eyeball it, right?
Yeah, you're damn right.
Now, hold on. And you're also saying, get out of here, go back. Did they fly back to their home?
If it's not clear, just turn around and go back. If you can't get landed safely at an airport, don't fly around like an idiot, because you're going to run into somebody. My suggestion is, if you're flying in from, let's say, Cleveland, Ohio, and you can't get into L.A., turn around and go back to Cleveland. Don't bother us, because we've got too much. You know how many people are trying to get in here? I'll tell you, I used to commercial fly to...
All right, we just lost, I don't know what happened. Did you hear that? Let me see if I can. Can you get him back on? That was weird. Art?
Yes, I don't know what happened. I had a, I guess I drove out of the south.
You're in your car?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, because that was wild, man. It sounded like your phone shorted out or something.
No, we should be doing all right.
Okay. Art Griego is with us. With all of the systems down, all the navigational systems down, you're saying a pilot ought to be able to eyeball it in. And
well, either that, Phil, or we've got to do something. We've got to encourage people. We've got to tell people who are visiting Los Angeles, as much as we enjoy you being here and visiting us, certainly your tax dollars from tourism are much needed in influx into our economy. We can't take it any longer. We can't stand it any longer. We don't have the capacity to take as many tourists here as you would like to. So just get out of here and give us a breathe. Let us breathe a little bit, because we do anywhere from 150 million to 200 million tourists a year in this town, and the navigational system at LAX can't take it. And I'll tell you this, how much do you know? Oh, what do we got? You know, you want to come out and look at Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum on Hollywood? That's great.
Well, you can't tell people not to come here.
Well, you can certainly tell the tourists to back off, because it's overloaded our system. And I know people want to come out, and we got the New Deal, that Universal City Walk. But, you know, it's the same. How many times do you want to see Disneyland? Just go home. Jesus. And we'll do what we can.
Well, it sounds like now you don't like tourists. What do you say?
I'm saying it's overloading our ability to track air traffic into the airport. So now we got guys up there got to eyeball it. And there's only so much they can do, and then you know the rest of that story, and it isn't pretty, and it involves a tail section floating by itself. So I would.
Okay, hold on for a minute, man. Art Griego, wow. Basically saying that the navigational equipment, the air traffic equipment, as you know, the radar went down. It originated in Los Angeles, and it grounded flights all over the place. He says that in his opinion, it's just too much air traffic coming into L.A. And a lot of it's tourists and people coming to visit. And he said, and you heard the quote there, he said, stop it, or you know how that story's going to end. And it involves a tail section floating by itself in the Pacific. 1-800-449-8686. He also said pilots ought to be able to land without so much of that equipment. Eyeball it. That's all you need to do. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. Art Griego, a private pilot, is on the line with us. We're talking about the radar, and I'm trying to see exactly, Art, what exactly crashed at LAX?
Well, it didn't crash at LAX, Phil. It was what we had were grounded flights because of failures of the radar system that guides aircraft through the region. Okay, and that it was centered at LAX. But really, the point that I'm trying to make is we don't need all that stuff. You can get some tug play. You know, we've got tugboats, and it's a little concept that I've been toying with for the last 25 years. We got tugboats in the harbor. There's no reason why you can't get small aircraft such as the small Cessna that I fly, and have a tug plane system whereby there are aircraft, small planes in the airspace, guiding those big planes in. And we give them the heads up, the big thumbs up. Two fingers means get out of here, clear out. There's terrorist activity at the airport. Three fingers mean go ahead, all clear. Four fingers, go higher. So in other words, you have just all you need are fingers. One, two, three, four.
And it's four fingers means go higher.
Right, you're coming in too low. Five fingers means that you need to throttle up. Six fingers means that you need to throttle back, seven fingers on down the line. 10 full fingers, when you've got both hands out the window, flashing 10 fingers, you're basically telling him he's go ahead green.
And when you got 10 fingers out the window, you don't have any hands on the wheel of your own airplane.
Right. Well, okay, but what I'm saying is,
I mean, how can you flash? All right, anyway, let me take a phone call, okay?
No, I want to answer that.
Yeah, but let me just take a phone call. Hold on. Phoenix on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Phoenix, yes, go ahead, sir.
Yes, 10 fingers hanging out a window, and I'm in a four-engine jet.
Not the wheel, the yoke.
300 people aboard, well, and I can see four fingers hanging out of a window of a pedal jumper? I don't think so.
Well, hold on. He said the wheel. I'm talking about the yoke. Okay? You know what a yoke is, right?
Sure, I know what a yoke is.
That's what Henny Youngman used to tell him. I'm just kidding around.
That's right. But
yeah, I'm just joking. The yoke.
You mean you're yoking?
I'm yoking.
By the way,
yeah.
Do you belong to a private pilot association?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, sir.
Where's it at?
It's in Santa Monica, California.
Okay, I know where that's at.
All right, sir. I belong to the AOPA.
Okay.
But I would say to you that that's the best way. When you got a guy that can't find his rear end with both hands and he's hanging out in the breeze up there, you got to guide him in.
Then he goes back to Las Vegas if he can't get into L.A.
Well, if he can't get into L.A. and he's coming from New York, I say turn around and go back to New York, don't you?
Oh, hell no. That's what Vegas was for.
Well,
that's
Vegas.
That's what Phoenix is for. That's why there's big airports there.
Well, you got too many people going into Vegas. No, I'd rather take my chances flying all the way back to New York. You know, that's, you know what I'm saying?
How many times are you going to stop for fuel with your airplane?
Clog your own airport, not one of ours. That's what I say. Okay, thank you.
All right,
sir. Thank you very much. Here is Philadelphia on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi. I'm just wondering sincerely if this is a joke. I mean, I'm waiting for someone to come in with
you're
a punchline.
You're talking about Art, airplanes that are tug planes?
Phil, I'm not talking about literally tugging aircraft.
Well, what are you talking about then?
I'm talking about a way to signal aircraft when your radar system is not working. I don't know what's joking about that. We had that problem today in Los Angeles.
You there, ma'am?
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
go ahead.
I just
yeah,
we
had that problem today.
I don't know
today
how
in
the world you bring in a 777 visually. Night.
You know, you've got a runway. You got a pilot with a brain in his head. You open up the windows, get some fresh air going, get a pot of coffee on, and land that thing.
You've got to be kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. What are you
really? I'm sorry. I fly every week. I mean, I appreciate you're a pilot. Have you piloted a 747?
There's no, look, an aircraft is an aircraft. I'm not trying to scare you.
No, sir. I disagree with that. I've been in a cockpit as well.
Are you
and
a pilot?
An aircraft is not an aircraft. You're not going to tell me that a Piper Cub is a 747. Well,
wait a minute. Are you a pilot?
No, I'm not a pilot.
Well,
but
I fly enough. We gotta,
to actually take, since I cannot believe that you're
I am
actually
saying
going to tell
to you,
me
I'm
you,
saying,
can, you can guide in by sight
I'm
at,
telling
at
you,
night into LAX.
I am simply
at 777.
Saying, I'm simply trying to say to you, this navigation and radar baloney is overrated. We could have a fleet of Cessna 172s on standby at all time to guide the big jets to the runway, Six fingers means...
Yeah, six fingers. You still haven't told me. You got two hands hanging out the window. Okay?
Look, it's possible. I'm sure the lady and you, Phil, when you drive your car, you're reaching over for something. You steer with your knees. Pilots do it. It's not that big of a deal. We're giving it...
So you got two knees on the yoke, and you got hands hanging out the window.
Sure.
It might be cloudy or dark.
It may be cloudy. It may be dark. You show me a pilot who can't land a plane with his eyeballs, his good sense, his faith in God, and the love of Jesus in his pretty blue eyes, and I'll show you a hell of a guy. But you want to rely on all that? Look, I got a pilot's badge, I got a license, I got a gun, and I got the love of Jesus in my beautiful green eyes. That'll land that plane. All this navigate... What?
Phil?
Yes,
Phil?
The love of Jesus in my pretty green eyes.
Speaking, I have a feeling we got a little Aryan Nation thing going here, too.
No, Aryan Nation,
concerning me.
I happen to have blue eyes, yeah.
Well, okay, I'm going to sign off now because I'm extremely... that's all I have.
There is an Aryan Nation Pilots Association. I'm not in it.
I'm surprised. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you.
What do you mean there's an Aryan Nations Pilots Association?
Well, it is.
What do you mean I got the love of Jesus in my beautiful green eyes?
There's the ANPA. Aryan Nations Pilots Association.
I got that already, okay? What do you mean you got the love of Jesus in your beautiful green eyes?
I'm just saying, if you're a pilot and you can't land an aircraft with your faith in God, your hand on your breast, cinch up your pants, cross yourself, say, I love you, Mom, bring that sucker in. That's what I call a pilot.
All right, here's Tucson on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I was talking to this guy with a... talking about if you come from Cleveland and you can't make it and turn around and go back.
Go back to Cleveland, right.
Well, you know what reserve fuel is, sir?
I certainly do.
But how are you going to go back to Cleveland on reserve fuel?
I think you could make it if you didn't go as fast.
We're talking about big airplanes here.
Yes, sir. You go up real high. There's not a lot of resistance.
Reserve fuel on big airplanes is about 5,000 pounds of fuel. Do you understand pounds?
Find some tailwind and ride with it. See, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about being a pilot. How many guys really know how to be a pilot anymore? Oh, they got to have some tin pusher. They got to have a tin pusher holding their hand. They got to have some guy telling them tailwind and all this bull crap. Just get up there and fly the airplane and land it.
You can't do it without fuel. Once you're committed to go into an airport...
Were you ever at a TV show or anything? Because you sound...
No, I was just thinking you're a stooge for this radio show.
No, you sound familiar. You sound familiar. Did you ever wrangle horses?
No, I didn't.
You never wrangled horses?
What has this got to do with anything?
You just sounded familiar.
All right, thank you very much, sir. The guy asked a really good question. What do you do when you only got 5,000 pounds of fuel?
Phil, if you're a pilot... And if there's any pilots out there listening to me, they know what I'm talking about. You find yourself a tailwind, you coast in.
You coast in?
Sure. You're talking about...
Cut the engine and coast in.
You do it in spurts. Find tailwinds. You say a prayer to the Virgin Mary. You say, I love you, Mom, and you go. These guys today, they got to have a tin pusher holding their hand.
Well, what are you talking about, man? What are you, George Kennedy, an airport? So what we're doing here is we're just saying a prayer, say hello, Mom. It sounds like something out of The Right Stuff.
That's exact. Either you got it or you don't. And that's what we're talking about. And I know that so many people were concerned about this today. I wanted to make them feel better about it. And
well, you had you had somebody there on the phone who was traveling from Philadelphia who was absolutely frightened by some of the stuff you were saying. And what do you mean, Beirut, no alternative? What is that supposed to mean? All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Art Griego. Art is a private pilot. He's commenting on the failure of the radar equipment around Los Angeles International Airport that apparently caused backups, flights backed up, flights grounded, 75,000 people couldn't get off the ground here in Los Angeles because of this navigational equipment, radar equipment that wasn't working. And he's basically saying, if you're a good pilot, you don't need it. You don't need it. You can land by sight. 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, this hour we'll be giving you our password for our live show at the museum. 1-800-449-8686. You know, I got to tell you something. We're talking with Art Griego as a private pilot. When I fly as a passenger, okay, where's the call from line one? Where's he from? Where's line run from? Why isn't it up there? Okay. When I'm flying as a passenger, okay, Art?
Yeah.
I want to know, just like that lady said, that the pilot who's flying the plane understands where he's going, okay?
I do, too.
Okay, so what are you telling me?
I do, too. And if a pilot needs radar, if he actually needs to have somebody in the air traffic control tower telling him where to go, I think that's a guy who might want to take a good long look in the mirror and find out.
You're telling me that if I'm a pilot and I need someone in the air traffic control tower of a major airport, and I can't just eyeball my way into it, I got to take a good long look in the mirror.
You got to look in the mirror and tell yourself, you know, you're a man or a mouse. If you're a man, you can land the aircraft. If you're a mouse, you need a tin pusher holding your hand and blowing your nose. That's all I'm saying. So,
well, you're insulting an awful lot of pilots.
I don't mean to insult them, Phil. I mean, I'm frustrated too, okay? But I'd like to speak directly to the folks who are flying into our city here in Los Angeles. I mean, this is what happens when you guys want to come in here and see Disneyland for the 3,000th time. You're going to have some problems.
Here is Belleville on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. Basically, I'd like to ask this guy, what's the point in taking the risk at all? Without radar or without a backup system, and then I'd like to know if he knows...
Well, why are we spending all this money on radar systems that get broken?
Do you know what TCAS is?
DCAS?
TCAS. A TCAS system. T-A...
Describe it. T-A-C-A-S. Describe it to me.
Okay, TCAS is a system that the FAA has required all aircraft
to
have.
Right, that's right, that's correct.
Okay, so do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay, now if you have TCAS, okay, and your TCAS, like let's say your radio altimeter goes out.
Okay.
If your radio altimeter goes out, it directly affects your TCAS, right?
Yeah.
So if you have no fuel, okay, and you declare an IFE, but you've got two planes already lined up to land on that runway.
Exactly.
You have no TCAS. Let's say your ceiling's at 400 feet.
Well, you got a guy in a private plane who's waving you in.
Sure, but what the hell are you gonna? What do you mean you got a guy that's gonna wave you in an airplane?
I am telling you that a system
at 140 knots.
Yes, sir.
You're gonna sit there and have a bi-wing right next to you, okay, a Cessna, that's gonna wave you in.
What you have, in much the same way that harbors have tugboats, you have a series of aircraft along the corridor, small planes, who can give you the green light.
That might be true.
And wave you in.
But
what's
the cost effectiveness of that?
Are you saying wave them in with their hand?
Yeah, you're just hanging your hand out the window, go ahead, green light.
So you're going to wave your hand out at 140 knots.
Have you ever opened
up a window at 140 knots in an aircraft? Because I've seen it not.
I'll tell you something.
It's a training thing that they do for pilots
right.
in the military. And I'm going to tell you right now, at 140 knots, when you open that window, it's pretty damn loud.
Well, it's loud. And I had a friend of mine who's crazy, climbed out in the wing of a plane at 80
knots. What are we
going to
do?
Okay?
We're just going to take all these pilots that are out there flying.
Right.
We're going to spend more money to fuel up all these Cessnas to guide all these planes.
Well, no, this is a volunteer.
It's going to cost more money just to fuel this up.
No, I'm saying that.
Sure.
I'm saying,
on top of that, you got a fuel crisis going on.
No, what I'm saying to you is, this is a voluntary program.
Guide these jets in.
It's a voluntary program, okay? If you're in a Cessna and you're part of a tug Cessna program with a
tug Cessnas.
Well, what I'm saying is, Phil, in a tugboat, look, I have a crossing guard sign. It's a stop sign.
You know, it would work really good with
I have a go
with
stop.
Sliders or
right.
something like that. It
yeah.
might work.
You got it.
But when you're dealing with a 747, let's
you
say
it.
Your wife and let's say you were having a family reunion, they're all on there.
Yeah.
Okay. You want the pilot to take that risk. Okay. Just to take the risk.
I'll tell you this much.
Why?
If you've
What's
got,
the
if,
point in the risk?
If you have already invested a considerable amount of time and money in hotel reservations and dinner reservations, you're going to go ahead and give the green light on that.
Get my green light on what? I'd rather have the backup system and not have to worry about paying some other guy to fly around, pay to buy his plane, pay to put fuel in it, and pay to have him stick his hand out the window at 140 knots, which is not going to be comfortable for either one of us.
Well, what I'm saying is, sir, you've seen crossing guard signs that very simply have stop and go. One side says go, one side says stop. You flip that go sign around, the pilot gives you a brisk, crisp salute. And on any of it.
Wait.
Whoa, what? Man, where are you going? That's real simple when you're sitting on the ground going 20 miles an hour. It's a little different when you're in an aircraft that's going to weigh at least 130,000 pounds.
No, it's not
going 140 knots.
Right.
And you got some other guy in a Cessna. It could be bad weather anyway, and if you've ever been in a Cessna in bad weather, it doesn't hold up too damn well.
Are you trying to tell me that you can't read go or stop?
What are you talking about go and stop? You have that already. When you line up for the runway, you already have a go and stop light. It sits right there. It tells you your glide path.
But if it's broken,
and without the
what if it's broken?
That's why you need your air traffic controller.
Well, what if that's
they
broken?
Can call you in.
What if that's
you
broken?
You have ILS approaches. You've
right.
got visual approaches.
I find it very difficult. Yeah, I find it difficult to believe, Art, that some guy in a Cessna is going to be flying along with a go and stop sign, or he's going to wave me in.
He'll give you the thumbs up.
Well, give me the thumbs up.
Right.
Not,
if this guy in Belleville,
there's been times where you can't see your runway.
Hey, have you ever?
And you have an ILS approach that tells you your glide path.
If you can't see the runway, it doesn't matter. If you can't see the runway,
it doesn't matter if you're off on your glide path.
No, but I'll tell you why. Because if you're off on your glide path, you won't get the thumbs up.
Yeah. Well, have you? Well, if you can't see
and you just
the
keep
runway,
flying, then you turn around and go back to Belleville.
How are you going to see a Cessna that's 200 feet over to your right? When you haven't even got out of the clouds yet to see him.
It's not going to be 200 feet over.
Oh, well, how close is he going to be? Was he going to be at your cockpit window?
No.
Well, I mean, you're out of your mind. You've lost.
You can be about. You can be about 50 feet.
Got a lawsuit going on.
You can be about 50 feet away. The Cessna pulls up close, 4 or 5 feet.
4 or 5 feet to an airplane.
Yes, sir.
You're out of your mind.
How do you do that?
You glide overhead. Hello.
If I was you, I'd just go ahead and just nose down. Just.
No, seriously, I should kill myself.
I would nose down.
No, I'm telling you.
If you really believe in what you're saying and you really think you're a pilot,
I could go over.
You're out of your mind.
A 770.
You're a pilot.
4 or 5 feet away, and you're over top of the 777.
Yes, and you stick your head out the window.
All right.
Well,
this guy, you're a pilot.
You know something? I don't like.
What would you fly for?
I don't like being laughed at. Thank you.
I can't help you with that.
He just hung up.
Who did?
The guy.
Well, it's about time. Jesus, I don't even think the guy was a pilot. And that's the only reason I called.
Sticks his head out the window. A go sign. Is that... Oh, you better take care of the kids, sir. It sounds like they're... Thank you.
To be honest with you, you got a hoax. He wasn't even a pilot.
You're pretty sure of that?
I'm almost damn positive. I don't even think he knew what I meant when I said TCAS.
All right, sir.
All right.
Thank you very much. You heard that guy. It was a hoax. You're fired, Schaefer. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-44. God dang it, man. You know what? Why don't I just go ahead and wheel the oxygen tank in here now? Yeah, just do that. Do the Don Imus thing. Just put the tube in my nose. This cold is like going on 4 weeks. I mean, it's gone, but there's that residual stuff in my chest. Ah, forget it. You want to hear my problems. Anyway, it's time to announce today's password to win tickets to see my show live on November the 2nd at the Museum of Television and Radio. Here's our password today. Write it down. The TED. The TED. For those of you saying, well, what does that mean? Obviously, you haven't listened to our show for very long, so don't even bother sending in your name, okay? Just the TED. You fax in your name, your home telephone number, and today's password, the TED, to 213-487-0058. 213-487-0058. Winners will be randomly selected from today's entries. So again, the password is the TED. We need your name, your home telephone number, and we need today's password, the TED. And the number is 213-487-0058. Okay, do we have anything to look at here in the Harriet Center guide today? Yes, look at this. By the way, I brought home a bunch of stuff for our cat. One of the guys on staff here, I forget his name. Who's the big guy that gave us, Will? Will Weeding? Don't you have a cat, Mike? Oh, come on. Were you mad at me because I yelled at you? Okay. You have a cat named Darla? Okay, so you gave that cat some catnip, right? And did it go ape or what? I brought home like 48 crates of catnip, and my cat is laying there like he's just been blasting hash all afternoon. He doesn't care. So what happened was Will gave us all his cat stuff. He gave us a cat bed, about 5 cat toys that are loaded up with this catnip. What is catnip anyway? Is that like cat pot? Is it like cat coke? What is that stuff? I mean, Mike's cat goes ape. I stuck this catnip toy right into the cat's kisser. It's like speed for cats. You know, I'm going to tell you, if that cat doesn't want to get off on that catnip, I'm going to roll it up and smoke it. Somebody's going to use that stuff. Because that cat didn't do anything with that. Anyway, we brought home this little cat bed for Kitty. Our cat's name is Mittens. She's a black cat with white paws and a white bib. And it's a piece of crap cat. Nah, it's okay. But she don't like me. Well, she does like me, but she won't jump up in my lap like she does the other kids. So I brought her home these toys, and I brought her home this little cat bed, and I brought home a little cat book and all kinds of stuff, man. And I was assured that these are catnip toys. Well, I laid these catnip toys in this little bed, and I stuck her in the bed, and she was sniffing it around. And by the way, Will owns a great website, housecat.com. Seriously, go visit housecat.com. He's got all kinds of cat crap there for you to look at and purchase. I know a lot of people don't like cats. Too bad. We like them at our house. Did you see Meet the Parents? It's fantastic. Robert De Niro is a cat freak in this movie. He has a cat. And Ben Stiller says the very predictable thing that a lot of guys say. No, I'm really a dog guy. And De Niro looks at him and says, oh, you like an emotionally shallow pet then? You don't want a pet that's challenging emotionally, huh? You just like an emotionally shallow pet. Something that'll just come up and lick your hand in your face and be too stupid to know why it's doing it. Is that what you want? Well, that's kind of how I feel. So anyway, we had brought all this stuff home to the cat, and man, she ain't doing nothing with that catnip. And I don't get it. So I'm going to start smoking the stuff myself and see if it's any good. I think this catnip's supposed to be pretty good. What if it drove people nuts? Oh, man. All right, anyway, here it is. Kit Kat clock wags its tail and rolls its eyes. Brings every minute to life. Animated clock is recreated from the mid-30s design. Looks adorable in the kitchen, bedroom, den, anywhere. Battery-operated clock gives hours of accurate and amusing timekeeping. Uses 2C batteries, not included. It's the Kit Kat clock. Yeah, I did give Will's website a plug. www.housecat.com. HousecaT.com. Anyway, this Kit Kat clock, that's Felix the freaking cat. What do you mean mid-30s design? That's Felix the cat! So the wag, you know, the tail wags as it tick-tocks and the eyeballs roll around. Anyway, here's one here called a hand shredder turns confidential papers and personal documents into confetti. Well, that's not what it says. It's called a hand shredder. So take that home and watch your kid stick his hand into it. Well, you're supposed to shred paper, but they call it a hand shredder. Kid's going to stick his hand in it, shred his hand. For a party? Yeah, for confetti for a party. Over here we have Chihuahua barks as you walk by. Motion-activated Chihuahua is a little dog with a big bark. You got to get this. Anyone who crosses his path will hear ferocious barking that usually comes from a much bigger dog. Ideal at entryway or porch or along a path to alert you to approaching visitors. Water-resistant plastic uses 2 AA batteries. You know, what was that thing? You know that fish that sings Don't Worry, Be Happy? You know, a little bit of that goes a real long way. Billy Bass.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you come in here for a minute, huh? Come here.
Yeah, what do you want? Don't worry, be happy. The thing starts singing. Yeah, I know. I've seen it already.
You have? Isn't it great?
And then it also sings Take Me to the River. water me down. All right, so here's a plastic chihuahua that'll bark when you walk by it. How'd you like to do that? You know, you're coming to your friend's house, like maybe a guy that you barely know, like some idiot you work with and you got to go to his house for dinner, and he's got that freaking thing sit at the front door, and you want to pick it up and throw it, but you can't. All right, well, I don't mean to sound. It's actually kind of nice. Actually, we don't have a guard dog, and that might be a pretty good, very inexpensive kind of a security system, or maybe bells hanging from the door, something like that. Just as soon as we get that security system figured out at our house, that'll be a really nice thing. Can't wait for that. I got a button there at the front door. It's like a punch pad of some kind. I don't know what it means. Here is the Holy Bible alarm clock. Plays the Hallelujah chorus at the start of each new day. Designed to resemble a real Bible when closed, opens to reveal a quartz-accurate clock and beautiful illustrated depictions of Jesus inside. Clock face lights up when alarm sounds, and it sings Hallelujah. When you, don't you think that's funny? Okay. Huh? Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, there you have it, man. A Bible alarm clock. What kind of fruity thing is that? And by the way, my wife couldn't buy an alarm clock to save her life. We need an alarm clock. She keeps buying this crap that you can't turn off. What is that? Well, this is the new alarm clock. I can't. Where's the button? Turn it off. Watch out, toilet monster. Here's something that's fun for the family. Toilet monster pops out whenever an unsuspecting guest lifts the lid of your toilet. Totally invisible when the lid is closed. The creature from the deep stays in place with included suction cups. Oh, yeah. Great for parties. Latex rubber rascal is toilet humor at its best. What if somebody didn't notice it and just went ahead and crapped on it? That wouldn't be funny. See, when you open the lid, it's attached to the second lid and... So in other words, if nobody saw that and they sat down to use the toilet, it'd just stay right on top of the toilet monster. So the next person to open it up, oh, that's swell. Here's one here that may interest you. Well, I thought I had one here. Yes, here it is. Automatic card shuffler. Thoroughly shuffles up to 2 regulation decks in seconds. Easy push-button device allows fingertip control. Clear window lets you check progress in action. Helps speed up bridge or poker parties. Great for arthritics and kids. How about that? And then we have the clock rumbles like a real tractor. What's up with these clocks? They got the Felix the Cat clock and the Hallelujah alarm clock. This is a clock tractor to give you a country feel. To give a country feel to any room. A great conversation piece in the den, kitchen, or workshop. You just won't be able to keep this clock down on the farm. Comes with a hanging hook. Use 3 AA batteries. Yeah, gives every room a country feel. So let's say you have a room that you decorated with Picasso paintings. Might as well mess it up with a tractor clock. Say you have a room that's postmodern. Put in that tractor clock. Or how about your boudoir? You bachelors out there want to bring a lady into your room with the satin sheets and all that baloney that you guys have, and then hang a big tractor clock over the bed. Riders up. Okay, anyway, Phil Hendry Show.